What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I see light mango.
Dave Wunstedt.
5 o'clock. Make sure someone write that down for Alex so he has it, okay?
Tanny, you write that down for Alex.
Write that down for Alex so he knows.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wunstedt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wunstedt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but.
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
Before we get started here, I want to congratulate my partner here, Patrick Manley, on the Patrick Manley Award last night. I think Bu Alexander won it. Lawrence was there. Dave Wunstedt was there. Bruce Bowen was there. Pat, a great award. Always a good time, I'm sure, at Bernie's Book Bank.
Yeah, thanks, Olin. It was really cool to have year seven, man. It flies by, and I appreciate all your help you've done in the past as well. But just a quick story. Coach Wunstedt's a beauty, man. You put him on stage, you just hit play. Lawrence had an easy job. All he had to do was say, go, coach. And he gave some great stories, entertaining the crowd.
Form is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
Coach doesn't care.
I don't care.
He doesn't care.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I thought our harmony on that was actually pretty good.
I agree. Very nice. We're getting better as a vocal team, Coach.
Well, I don't know about that, Spiggs. I think you carried it. I just kind of stay out of the way.
Now, Lawrence has some excellent vocal chops, and I miss you when you're not a student. Where's Coach? Where's Wani?
Yeah, where's Coach? Got to get those shirts going.
I'm a little bit out of sync here, with the New Year's Eve and a Wednesday and college bowl games coming on. I'm kind of covering a lot of different territory here, guys,
Yeah, it's weird. There's football every day, and it's happening all the time. I heard you on with Mully and Hahn. I thought you were terrific talking about that incredible football game on Sunday night, Coach. And one of the things you pointed out, you were charting it, you didn't see a blitz by either coach until 2 minutes left in the first half? And I mean, it's crazy. Did Dennis Allen blitz enough in that game? And does he need to blitz more going forward to get some pressure?
Well, I would say no. I mean, from the standpoint that only he can make that decision, and obviously whenever you're going to blitz, I think what happened in the first Green Bay game has been on his mind, and you don't want to give up the big play. You want to try. You like to think that they're going to screw something up, and they're not going to have the touchdown drives that the 49ers had. I mean, the thinking would be that okay, if they got to go 7, 8, 9, 10 plays, that somewhere along the line we're going to come up with a turnover, we're going to make a stop or two, maybe get a sack. Something good's going to happen and turn them back. And, they were just hitting on all cylinders. I mean, they were a heck of a lot better. And, the one thing that surprised me, and you can't, how can I say this? You can't practice unscripted plays with the quarterback. And by that, I mean, Purdy made more plays on his feet than I thought he was capable of. I don't know if you guys thought the same thing or not, but, that did surprise me that they called some quarterback runs and he completed, a touchdown pass. He completed runs and passes while on the move also. So, those type of things happen in the game. But I'm sure you're sick. I mean, if I'm, if you're Dennis Allen and your offense scores 38 points and you lose the damn game, I mean, you're sick about it. You truly are,
I'm so glad you brought up Jordan Love in week 14 against the Blitz. 9 of 12 for 171 yards, 3 touchdowns and no picks. He ate them alive. So, Lawrence, it's natural that the reaction to that against a similar scheme and a skilled quarterback might be to sit back instead.
So, Coach, with this defense, they have a couple of issues. And from someone who did this at a super high level as a defensive guy, where are some of the Bears' weaknesses on defense, and how would you try to remedy them?
Well, I think the biggest weakness is probably the Bears versus the run. You know, and the way you remedy them, you bring the safety up and get them in the box, or you start doing some run blitzes. But I'll tell you, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, I think he's in the running for the MVP, guys. I mean, you know, if he breaks the – here's the biggest thing. You say, okay, let's run blitz. We anticipate their runs. We know where we want to get extra defenders. And that all looks good on the chalkboard. But if one guy gets blocked or one guy gets chopped to the ground and you have a back like McCaffrey, he is in danger of going 60 yards on a running play as what throwing a big 60-yard pass play is. You know, so that's the easy answer. Oh, just bring the safeties up and get 8 or 9 guys up there at the line of scrimmage. And then the other thing, let me throw this in there. The one way you get beat on a blitz, run or pass, is obviously if they read it and they make a play. Now, the other way I'm talking about is being a little bit out of your gap. Well, what causes defenses to get out of their gap faster than anything, fellas? That's movement and that's shifts. Because they line up and you say, okay, I know who's got the A gap, B gap right across. Now all of a sudden, that tight end shifts from one side to the next. All of a sudden, you have to change your gap. Everybody needs to be disciplined and do it. All 11 guys' responsibility changes. Well, guess what? They move the tight end. Now they bring the receiver in motion back the other way. Now your safety's making a check the other way to change some responsibilities. So I know I'm talking a lot here, but it's a lot when you are in a blitz and you are facing a team like the 49ers that motion and blitz more number of times and effectively like the 49ers do. I mean, that's all compounds the problem. That's why they do it. They want to distract you a little bit and make you uncertain. And everybody was saying, why are they completing those passes on us down the field? Weren't we covering them? Yeah, we were covering them. But guess what, guys? When you are moving from one side to the other and you're checking the coverage, you're changing it, you're just a tad bit slow. And the ball's coming out in about 2.5 seconds. And if you're a half of a second late, guess what? Guy's going to be open. And that's what they were doing. So, I mean, you know, it's a combination of all those things, and that's why they are so darn effective.
Good, great stuff.
That makes sense.
Of course it did. We like when you talk a lot.
I wish I was there with a damn board. You know, I can clear this up real fast for our listeners. But, you know, so that's what goes into it. Dennis Allen's thinking, got a dangerous guy with the ball, got a quarterback who's smart and receivers and tight, you can make plays. We cannot make a mistake and give them a play. Let's make them earn it. That's what it comes down to.
It's great stuff with Dave Wanstead. All right, one more question in terms of the specifics of the defense. After Noah Sewell got hurt, Coach, they didn't play 3 linebackers again for any snap the rest of the game. And I thought that's interesting. Do they not have somebody else that they trust to be out there with TJ and Tremaine? Did he just want to use the sub packages all the time? Is that what did you think of that? That they never had 3 linebackers in the game after Noah Sewell got hurt?
Yeah, you know what? I can't answer that. I'm not sure the personnel. I can just tell you this, that from a practice standpoint, if you aren't practicing, you don't want to put somebody in there just to put him in there and then he's exposed. Mm-hmm. So they must have felt better with the extra DB, the nickel guy, being able to play the run. And you do have to be able to play the run and the pass as a nickel back. So they put him in there and They just felt like this guy gave him the best chance to be successful. I don't have the real answer why, though, on that.
Okay.
All right. So watching the Bears' offense on Sunday, what stood out to you about the performance of Caleb Williams and the Bears' offense?
Well, we are, you know, those two offenses, I mean, that was like a pinball machine going. I mean, and both offenses, I thought, ran the ball effectively. I thought both offenses did a lot of movement passes effectively. They took some shots down the field. I was impressed with both offenses. Ours, primarily, to answer your question, I thought that Ben did a great job of keeping San Francisco off balance. You know, and when your team's off balance, they're going to be late. I mean, they didn't want to blitz. They could not get any pressure, you know, with their four guys up front. So they were content just to try to play coverage. They were scared to death of giving up the big play. I thought Ben did a great job. I love the hook and lateral play at the end. That was a great call. I've had 10 people say, I'm tired of these tricks. Let me tell you something. That was a – and here's what I ask people. They were in a zone coverage. If they were in a man coverage down there, okay, locked on, bringing the safeties, trying to stop the run, thinking, you know, Monongai or somebody inside, and you get DeAndre Swift on the perimeter one-on-one with anybody, who are you putting your money on? I'm putting it on Swift to make 5 yards. So I thought it was a great ball, and the Niners would just happen to be in a zone there where they had, you know, three guys. He damn near split the three guys, you know?
Yeah, it's fun, too. It was super fun, and yeah, you get your running back with the ball running full speed towards the goal line at that point. You take that opportunity. Yeah.
Well, if he can make a miss, who's gonna? We see him every week. We see him. Guys can't tackle him in the open field. Yeah. That's what he does. Get in space. Get the ball on the edge. Get the ball in space and see if they can tackle him for a no gain. It doesn't happen very often, fellas.
We got an injury report, Coach. They had a walkthrough, so these are an estimation of their participation. The big news here is that Rome Odunze would be a DNP again today.
Oh, man.
So Rome is a DNP here on a Wednesday. Luther Burden was limited, so that's good on a Wednesday. That's probably Luther trending towards playing, but no Rome. So we doubt that. Lawrence asked earlier about Kyler Gordon. There's no Kyler Gordon on here earlier because Ben is the one who brought it up. To your point, Lawrence, Ben is the one who earlier said, well, it'd be great to get Kyler back for the postseason too, but that'd be hard to trust, wouldn't it? Like if next week, all of a sudden, could you trust Rome? Could you trust Kyler if like the week of your playoff game, they're practicing for the first time?
Yes, you could. But I'll tell you what, Luther is going to be fine. I mean, you know, I didn't see anything severe. Now, you know, he's had a quad injury, probably got a bruise. They'll work that out. And I'll tell you what, I trust Luther as much as Rome, maybe more, and DJ, you know, and now the way we've gone with our tight ends, there's no question who the favorite receiver is and who Ben Johnson, if he needs a catch, in my mind, every critical fourth down play or something, it's Colson. Loveland has turned into be the most secure receiver, I think, in Caleb's mind and Ben Johnson's mind as far as betting the money that he'll make the play. I didn't realize that was his first drop. Did you guys?
No, I didn't realize that either, but we're not surprised because someone on this show told us that he had the best hands on the team.
Yeah, you told us that, what, like 6 weeks ago? 8 weeks ago, Coach?
I did. I was, thank you, Lawrence. I was waiting for you to bring it up. But no, I believe that, don't you? I mean, and you see when the game's on the line, who's Ben making the calls to? I mean, he's trying to get the ball to Loveland. And, but I feel DJ Moore, you know, is making plays. All these guys are making plays. As much as we'd like to have Rome out there, I feel good about our receiving core. I feel good about our backs. I feel good about our offense. I mean, Caleb's not going to throw it up for grabs. The offensive line is staying healthy. And, God, was there any surprises on that injury report, guys?
No, not really. Just the disappointment of Rome not being there. Hey, you're right about Caleb not throwing it up for grabs. He is right now. He only Jalen Hurts has more games the last 2 years without throwing an interception among all quarterbacks in the NFL. Caleb just doesn't throw picks. And I was worried that part of that was going to be also him not being accurate down the field, like not, but he's gotten more accurate down the field. He's like, he's now somebody you can trust to complete big plays down the field. That was missing, Coach. He can do everything right now, just about.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I agree. And, you know, the minute that he misses a pass, oh, God, everybody's like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, the guy's doing fabulous. He really is. He's so far ahead of where any Bears fan honestly thought he would be. And like you say, just compare him around the league to some of the greatest quarterbacks that have played the game with the number of games he has under his belt and a new offensive system. And we should hear as Chicago fans, we should feel very, very, very excited about Caleb in the future, really. You know,
Coach, I want to go back to Luther Burden for a second, because in watching his development, I'm a little surprised that he's gotten this good this quickly. And I was a big fan of the drafting of him, because he's a first-round guy that got drafted in the second round. How do you think they got him to this point?
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think injuries, you know, I mean, he's gotten the more if the coaches know that you're going to play, you're going to get more practice reps. And the more practice reps you get, the more confidence you get, and then you get more opportunities. I mean, he's always had the ability. And I think they did. You know, the thing that Ben does, Ben figures out real quick what guys do best. And, you know, Burden's got that big speed, so he'll throw him a couple deep balls. But then he's going to get him on some high percentage throws. Where this guy is a tough guy. That's why I love him. I mean, this guy blocks. You better get him on the ground or he's going to score. I mean, he'll break tackles, yards after the catch. I don't know what, you know, he's about. If we'd have taken him number 10, we'd be happy right now.
No doubt about it. I mean, the way that he's played has been incredibly impressive. So this Lions game, I'm expecting the Lions to play hard. What are you expecting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, they're going to be biting kneecaps. Absolutely. I don't know what – I mean, I heard Dan Campbell – the only quote that I heard that made a lot of sense – now, someone told me that if Green Bay would lose again this week and the Lions beat us, that they can't get in the playoffs, right?
No, I mean, no, they're over. Done. They're done. It's over for them.
Yeah, they're done. So, no, they – you know, this will be interesting because the thing Dan Campbell, he said he doesn't want to go from first place to last place. That was his big win one for the Gipper talk, for the way I read between the lines early in the week. Guys, you know, we were the best last year. Do you want to be the worst, on and on? Well, I don't know how long that lasts. I do know that if you get Jared Goff, you know, or all of a sudden Jahmyr Gibbs, God forbid something serious happens in the game. Mm. You know, I don't know if I'm how good I'm feeling about that. If I'm the owner of the Lions right now, you know, or the general manager, I think I would have to sit down and have a serious conversation with my coach and say, listen, what are we doing here? What are we trying to gain here? I think Jared Goff needs more practice reps or game reps. No, he doesn't. So I'll be curious to see how long the starters play. I really will. And, you know, and I'm not one for shutting it down and getting ready for next year, but you are to that point. And next year, you get healthy. I mean, they got beat up this year really bad. I was looking over their roster and who's hurt and who's out on that defense. Their defense got slaughtered. And, you know, they get everybody back healthy next year. I mean, they're going to be knocking on the door again. So I would be kind of focused on that, to be honest with you guys. I hate saying that, but it's kind of the reality, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like did GMs or team presidents or owners ever come to you and say, hey, why don't you shut some of these guys down, coach? You ever have those conversations?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think it's good that, you mean, they've never told me to shut them down, but with all of them, I remember conversations at the Dolphins most recently with Rick Spielman and George Payton. You know, coach, we, you know, how much are we going to, now we were winning, but it can go on both sides too. When you're winning, you know, I mean, coach, you know, how much you want to get, we should win pretty good today. How much do you want to get Ricky Williams?
Hey, coach, we were thinking about you, coach.
I'm serious.
I believe it.
It was against the Bears, and we were winning the game when we played the Bears, and I said, that's it, get Ricky out, and I got in an argument with Ricky Williams on the sideline. He, give me one more series, you know. So anyway, you know, and you get into a lot of things. I don't even want to mention incentives and stuff like that, but a lot of these players, you know, they might need another 50 yards rushing or catching or a sack for large amount of money. And that's when it gets a little bit, you know, that's another conversation. You hate to admit that, but that's all part of it, guys.
The most explosive passing offense in the history of the Chicago Bears franchise was under Dave Wannstedt and Ron Turner, 1995, Eric Kramer. His passing yard record is 108 yards from being broken by Caleb Williams. You don't, you're not behind a lot of offensive records, coach. I'm going to be honest. This is one. I mean, how will you feel if Caleb breaks Eric Kramer's record, which happened on your watch in 95?
Oh, no. I hope he gets it. I'm all in on Caleb. I mean, absolutely. No, and he should. I can't believe it. It still stands. I mean, the road playoff victory thing. I can't believe that's still standing, you know?
Last Bears road playoff win was you guys against the Vikings, right?
Yeah, that's unbelievable. It really is when you think about it, you know? But anyway, yeah, so I hope Caleb gets it this week. I truly do, and he might. I mean, you know, who knows what the Lions are going to do? They may just come in here and shut this thing down, and their secondary is crippled anyway. If you said, what is the weakness of Detroit, it would be their secondary. I think they've got three starters that are out, and I know one of the defensive linemen for sure. And then, you know, so if I'm Dan Campbell, I want to shorten this game and take the air out of the football as much as I possibly can and get out of here. That's really, I think, I would expect a ton of runs versus the Bears and see where it ends up.
Coach, what are you doing tonight?
You know what? I'm sitting here watching Michigan and Texas, and then I'm obviously going to watch my U. I'll probably put my U t-shirt on here and watch the U. No, I'm kidding.
You got a lot of teams, coach. That's awesome.
I got so many. And then I'm Big Ten, so I'm cheering for. I'm torn. This was a tough weekend for me. Absolutely, it is. But I am all in on Indiana. I can tell you that now. Okay,
coach, you're breaking my heart.
Yeah. Why is that, Lawrence? Oh yeah, Alabama. Yeah, come on. Yeah. I mean,
I'm all in on Alabama, coach.
I can't believe that Miami is 9.5-point dogs. Tonight. That's what I read, and that seems like
Coach, you've been talking about Ohio State's defense all season.
All season long.
Oh, they're unbelievable. They're unbelievable. No. I'm not taking anything away from Ohio State, but that just seems like a lot of points in a game like this. I mean, when you say maybe the first defensive player in the draft is at Miami, the first offensive tackle coming off the board could be from Miami. I mean, Miami's got about four guys that are going to go in the top 20 picks.
Coach,
they're talented too.
We believe it. Look, Happy New Year. Enjoy your night.
Happy New Year, Coach.
We will talk to you next year. We appreciate you. We're grateful for you and for Jan and the whole Wanstead crew. And
hey,
have a safe and happy one.
I got to say this, guys, before I get off. You guys, nice job with your show. I saw the ratings and everything that came out. You guys are there in a... You're in the top five, man. Anytime you're in the top, I think you're in the top three or something like that, your show. So
keep going.
Congratulations to you guys.
Coach,
am I right or wrong?
You're right.
That actually could change next week. It might end up being number one. We got something that's being sent to the replay booth. And
I like it.
Yep.
I like it.
But either way.
But you're a big part of that, Coach, and we appreciate you for it.
Yep. I don't know about that, but congrats. And, Happy New Year, guys, and we'll talk next week. Okay?
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, guys. Someone sent him the book.
I mean, that's the thing. He's got a book from last year, but he might need to fill that shelf a little bit.
Finish that book. We're going to finish ours next week.
He's a good man.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
And thorough.
Aww.
All right, we got to take a break because we got to get out of here.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, Bulls basketball is coming up in 20 minutes. Yeah, you're on the Score.
They're playing here against the Pels.
Yeah. Derrick Queen. Back after this on the Score.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.